Hello, hello. Hello, and welcome to today's Plumbers of Data Science episode, where we take a look at how companies are doing data engineering, how companies are setting up their platforms, and help data scientists to be able to do their magic, their analytics. Today, we're going to look into LinkedIn. On the last stream, LinkedIn was requested, and LinkedIn was already on my list. So today we're going to look into LinkedIn. Okay, let me just check if everything is all right. Dragonfly says, hey. Ah, Fabio is also here. Hi, Fabio. Hi. Hi, guys. It's always strange because now I see that someone has joined. So in my live analytics here, it says zero viewers. So it's always a bit confusing. But I guess that's how you have to live with this. Okay. Yeah. So we're doing this today a bit on the fly because I have to be honest, I fell asleep on the couch. So literally 5 minutes before here, or 10 minutes, I got my water, and now I have to open everything. A bit late. Hi, Nick. Great joining. Great that you join here. I just said we're starting here. So what is LinkedIn doing? And I have found 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, six. Let's say seven links that I found interesting. And let's just dive right in. At any time, if you have a question, let me know. And all the links are going to be in the description after the stream for you to research more and to get all the details I'm missing here. So let me just switch scenes. Okay. So the first one is from March 2017, from Strata Hadoop conference. And this is building a healthy data ecosystem around Kafka and Hadoop, lessons learned at LinkedIn. Nick asked on Wednesday that we look into LinkedIn and look into Solr. And I looked everywhere. I found nothing about Solr within LinkedIn. So I don't know. Okay. This is some first thing, some blah blah forms of data. So basically pointed out what they're using and what's on the menu here, and how they see the forms of the data. So they see Fabio says LinkedIn hates me. Yeah, we all have some problems with LinkedIn. Don't get me started. So as a quick side note, I found out that LinkedIn really hates when you put links directly in the post. So don't put links in the post. If you want to reach people, put links in the first comment, or just leave them out completely. Just this absolutely makes no sense. I can show you the difference. Let's make a quick excursion now that Fabio is here. I made a A/B test. Let me just pull this up here. Where's my profile? Profile is here. See all activity. Come on. Posts. Okay, let me just bring this up. Two posts exactly the same. This post I made it a day ago, and I put, this was a post to our last video, to our Twitter, data engineering at Twitter. If you have missed this, check this out. And I put the link directly in the post, and it shows you then here the where you can watch it and so on. So this one had 4,000 views in my in the feed, two people, and 48 likes. And then I did, 4 hours later, I decided, let's do an A-B test and do exactly the same post, everything. This then had 12,000 views in people's feed, so I reached a lot of more people, and 94 likes and 17 comments. This one, does that even have one comment? One comment. So, or is that coming from me? Yeah, that's that's even from me. So, yeah, guys, this is quite funny. Just a quick LinkedIn algorithm side excursion when we talk about LinkedIn. Fabio says, yeah, I've been doing some A-B too. Also, when I rant about something, it gets more views. And when it's important post, well, nothing. Yeah, happens. This happens. Okay, let's get back to the LinkedIn thing. So what they... Fabio, we need to try. Do more posts. Yeah. I don't know how the algorithm works these days. So they have more or less data. They say they have data in motion and data at rest. And these are the differences. This is basically fast data, and this is slow data. This is data from Kinesis and Event Hub, and from Kafka. So basically ingest or streaming. And then on the other side, you have databases like Cassandra, Druid, Hadoop, S3, Blob Storage, and so on, DynamoDB. So more of databases and so on. And then as an example, they say the problem here is I don't know the time frame here. They say in motion, about 1.7 trillion messages, 450 terabytes. And at rest, the slow data is about 10,000 machines, 100 petabytes, multiple clusters. I have this information some in another post. There's even more on the more regarding this. So basically what they do for data integration, they have REST, and then they can send the data through JDBC or SFTP into something at REST like Hadoop, and then they access this from Salesforce or Google Cloud or something. And so data integration for them is a key thing. So sources and syncs and batch and stream processing and data quality to make sure all the data gets processed very good. And so they built Goblin. Goblin is something completely new for me. I haven't heard about Goblin before. Maybe we can check this out later. I don't want to want to commit here to Goblin. Well, the idea with Goblin is that you have all these sources like Kafka, Hadoop, and so on and so on. And with Goblin, you can ingest this from one side and put this out on the other side again. So basically, you can take data from Kafka, do something with it in Goblin, and then put it out again to Kafka or something else. Okay, hundreds of terabytes per day, thousands of data sets, 30 different source systems, 80 plus of data ingest. Okay, I'm not 100% sure what that means. I think I have seen somewhere this on Google, on YouTube, you can find this. Okay. Yeah, you can find the talk. Here is the talk. So you can also find this talk as a video. Yeah. So they, yeah. Processing and query engines, and with Goblin you can share this data within those two. They have some processing frameworks. I think we know Scalding, I don't know, but Hive and Pig, we know MapReduce, of course, Spark, Samza we have talked about also in one of the earlier Plumbers of Data Science podcasts. I'm not sure which one it was. We need to check. Yeah, then they built is something new, a new query engine or database, Pinot. The idea here is that data comes into Kafka. You can process it with Samza, put it, for instance, back into Kafka, and then like minute data, and then this ends up in Pinot. And from Kafka, you can send data into Hadoop and then process it in jobs, like hourly or more than hourly, and then put it into Pinot. I think I have a architecture doc here from Pinot. So let me just Pinot service REST queries. Key features. Okay. Okay. We need to look into this more. So I found this post, and I found another one regarding Pinot for you, where you can check out more. Yeah. It basically is. It looks like it has a like Kafka. It has a broker, a strategy, and then some. You can do with real-time nodes. You can then it's. I see this more like, again, like this looks a bit like a Kafka, where you can consume then data into Kafka, or Kafka consumes data from Pinot and pushes it to Hadoop, and then you have a historical data that comes into Pinot historical nodes. And my guess is that then with the broker, this when you see here queries, that you query the data from the broker. Maybe this is the wrong direction. I explained this the wrong direction. So this Pinot real-time node, this listens to Kafka. So this is a consumer to the Kafka, and a historical node, this is a consumer from Hadoop. We have seen this type of thing before, and this was maybe if you remember, we have seen this regarding Druid. Mohammed asks, sorry I came late, what is Samza? Samza is a processing framework. And let me just bring this up quickly. So basically what Samza is, streaming ETL, so you can process data with it, and it runs on Yarn or a standalone manager where you can can manage the resources, and you have different inputs. So you can input data from for instance Kafka or HDFS or something, or Kinesis if you're on AWS, and then process it and put it out again into those streams or key value stores or something. So it's a processing framework. I would compare this to something like Spark or something like MapReduce, that you can do this stuff with Samza. Druid, I think, wasn't Druid open source? Let's just check again. Druid. This is incubating. By the way, Samza. This Samza has been built by LinkedIn. So this is. LinkedIn came up with this. And the structure here of having real-time notes and having historical notes, we have seen this on Druid as well. Maybe I can quickly find the architecture here. Yeah, here. Druid design. Where's the picture? Here you have historical notes and you have middle manager notes, which are basically the quick notes of Pino. Just gonna make this bigger. And the deep storage in this case was then, for instance, Hadoop. So it's quite the same, the same again. So I find this interesting. They it's like they copy each other everywhere. I don't know, Pino, where this if this is a thing that is invented by LinkedIn. Real-time distributed on tester, which is used at LinkedIn. So maybe this is a maybe this is a LinkedIn invention. We are not going over all the 63 slides, by the way. We are going to bail on this one soon. So let me just. Yeah, this another thing. I think he's going to like this. Clickstream. So tracking data records, user activity. This is something basically everybody does. Interesting thing here. Okay, 1,000 tracking event types, hundreds of metrics and data products. So they have. You can see the types, the events, what they. Process or track. So this creates a, if you click on the ad for a user, then this creates a click event, and in this case here it creates a click event. This goes then into Kafka and into Hadoop, and then then you have this is for the data science, I guess here. Member facing data product. So production code, this is then working into production. And so you can also use this data then for metrics or within metric scripts and do business decisions. Okay, let me just quickly. So here's some code and yeah, how such an event looks like. And yeah, client side tracking. You click here. This has then a service, or you use a front end, and this puts into Kafka, and you have services which put data into Kafka, and then you have the tools who basically consume the data here. This is some older stuff. I think we're going to bail here on this thing. Okay, this was also something interesting. How how they reacted when they changed the whole ingest of the events. So you had so they had previously they had page view event. This was the old interface, and when you had a page, LinkedIn page, and now you have a profile, and the new one is a profile event, and you need to send this event somewhere where you can then do analytics and so on and relevance. And let me just. Okay, what the scripts were doing all were accessing basically raw data, and now they wanted something that is connecting to an API. And so they created views. So basically the interfaces access a view, and then you can map them together and work as before with both APIs, or with the old and the new one. Okay, this gets even more complicated here, and I don't want to get into this. Okay, let's go to the next slide here. Was it interesting? Okay, I see a few comments. There's a comment from there's one comment: does the click event directly go into Kafka? No, it's not going directly into Kafka. It's the event goes into something like a API, and from there into Kafka. You don't connect clients like your phone directly to Kafka. This makes no sense, and it's from a security point of view, it also makes no sense. Cannot do this. Okay, you guys fight this one out. Okay, let me just go to the next slide here. What have I prepared after that? This is another thing. Machine learning at LinkedIn. Let me bring this up here. I just need to quickly order the tabs here so I can put them in the right order after the stream. So another thing here is building machine learning at LinkedIn at scale. There's a quick setup how they work with the whole platform. Let me just make this here bigger. So you have some data sources. This can be databases, and they put data into Kafka and then into Samza. And what was Ambry? Ambry was a blob storage. Okay, and then from TensorFlow, you can then access either the Kafka live data, or you can access the Ambry blob storage. So this would be more of a batch thing here. And then through PIC, it lands into HBase, and the users through a user interface then can access the data stored in HBase and look at it. And what they have here is TensorFlow on top of Spark, or and TensorFlow on Yarn, and they both run on top of Hadoop. So you have a Hadoop backend where you can store long-term data as well. And let's just quickly look into Ambry here a bit more. Immutable blob storage system that is highly available, very easy to scale, optimized to serve immutable objects. So once you write them, you cannot change them. Multiple gigabytes in size, throughput, and low latency. Provides very cheap storage. This is always good. TensorFlow on Yarn. So you have your Hadoop on the as a backbone, more or less, and then you have Spark on Yarn on top of it, or TensorFlow directly on Yarn, and you can do your processing. yeah, this is some stuff about testing. Yeah. So you can check this article out more in the description later. And what have I again? What have I more here? Yeah, this one is also interesting. Just bring this one up. This one is a bit newer. This one is from October 2018. And missed here the introduction. More data, more problems, scaling Kafka mirroring principles, pipelines at LinkedIn. Mirroring pipelines. Yeah, this the problem here, what they have is Kafka is growing rapidly. So, or the data is growing rapidly that they throughput to Kafka. Like, what is this here? This is messages ingested per day in billion. This is a lot. And in 2018, they were at 5,000 billion, so 5 trillion records per day. So this is really, wow. That's amazing. Bytes ingested per day in terabytes, over 1,000 terabytes a day in 2018. It's crazy. Why do they get so much data? What is it? Okay. You can send them pictures, you can upload files, you can upload videos and so on. So I'm guessing this all there's one question out of context. It's not out of context, I can tell you already. Should a developer in the path of data engineering know have worked with all the popular tools? I think Nick already answered this. Man, you guys are fast. So my take would be on this. What we have seen already now, I think we're on this is the 9th case study or the 10th. A good choice with it to when you start with data engineering is to look into Kafka, you look into Hadoop, you look into Spark. And with those three, you're already on a good track. Then look at a key value store and like Cassandra or something like HBase, or last week we've seen Bigtable. And then you're on a good track. Then if you know them and if you have made some because basically you can try this on your own computer. These are not crazy systems, and warm and yeah. So this is a good starting point because a lot of companies are using these. Dragonfly says it's important to have these comments even after the stream. I think when you rewatch the whole thing, that you can access the live chat and you can replay the chat while you're watching, and so these are not getting lost. I can't go in and do all the and copy the whole the comments into comments of the YouTube video. I don't have time. I really don't have time to this. Chats are repeated. Quick question, is everything still all right? You can still hear me, all good. Good question. Please just quickly give a feedback if everything's okay. Yeah, so they have some problems with Kafka. What they do is they use Kafka Mirror Maker, and this scales not very good. So they have multiple data centers, and they have Kafka in the data centers, and they try to mirror the Kafka instances to different data centers, and this does not go well. So they have Kafka, 100 plus pipelines in 9 data centers, and 100 plus clusters, 6,000 plus hosts or nodes, and over 1 trillion messages per day. So they have a lot. And their problem is that they have... can I get this even bigger? They have data center A, data center B, and the tracking or your clickstream basically goes into the Kafka. And then with the Mirror Maker, you want to access from different data centers the data, or you want to access data across the data centers or put the data in. And this is this looks like a problem, and so they had to find a solution, and they went because it's getting even bigger here. It's not only tracking, they have also this for the metrics. And so they moved to a Brooklyn Mirror Maker. Maybe some of you guys have heard of this. I don't. So they what they could do with this, they could basically shrink the whole thing down. So they had 100 clusters before, they now have 9. They had 6,000 hosts before, now they have smaller than 2,000 hosts. And yeah, I'm not 100% sure how they did it. Maybe you can figure this out later in later after the stream. BMM architecture, don't know. Built on Brooklyn. I don't know if any of you have heard this. So it's in the next slide. They marked here Kafka. I don't know exactly. Okay. I read my name in the chat. I think it would be very useful to highlight the ML models deployment process after all case studies. It's also data is shop ended. This is the thing is you get almost no information about the whole thing. This is how they are doing the whole configuration and model deployment and a testing of models and so on. They had in this slide, I think they had some information about this. Wasn't that here? But usually this is something you almost don't get, because this is where the IP is. Intellectual property. This is where it's tricky, and no, this wasn't that. And was that here? Well, that wasn't. Yeah, it's again, the problem is the problem is that I see model deployment and so on, they almost kind of find this stuff. They show you that the platform, and you can try to figure out what they're doing with it. But basically what exactly they're doing and how they're deploying the machine learning. It's not that easy. I can look into this more. No, Nick, all good. But I don't know how much we can find out for all the companies. For instance, last week with Twitter and Heron, I found basically nothing how they deploy their jobs and how they do the configurations of all this stuff. And this stuff is not easy because they don't want to show you the details of what exactly they're doing. This is always a problem. But I do my best. Yeah, so again, back to the Kafka problem here. They said they had Kafka, two Kafka instances in between is Brooklyn, and it's basically like a processing engine. I see this. You have Kafka connectors on both sides, and you have a engine that works with Zookeeper configuration management or distributed configuration management, and then you have some management diagnostics APIs. And this way you can then get data in from Kafka's and into other Kafka. Whoops. Can get data in from Management Mining Portal. I'm not sure about this. Okay, let's move on. I'm not sure about this one here. Isolation. So this, maybe it helps you to have heard about Brooklyn. This is interesting. If you have this problem, maybe this helps you. I don't know. Okay, some blah blah. Next thing. Yeah, the thing here, one info was maybe we can discuss the architecture of some open source tools. The idea here in this streams for now for me, and is not to get in just into the tools. So like for instance this Goblin, I don't want to get into this one tool. I want to get you as much information as possible of what they're doing, what different tools are they using, and get you a starting point to get then into the tools and go over the documents of the tools and figure out how these things work, because this gets super complicated quick, and yeah, I don't think this would make so much sense. What do I have here? This one doesn't make sense. Don't need this one. Just get this one here. This one is something about the Lambda architecture. This I just read in the comments here. the discussion is right now which tools we should deep dive into, but I don't want to deep dive into tools here in this stream. But you guys can figure this out. You can also talk after the stream about this, so it doesn't necessarily need to be done here. Here's something, offline commutation flows. Here you can see how they use the whole thing. You have Kafka, this gets into HDFS, and with batch jobs through Samza, you can then use Kafka, or you have and then you can put this stuff out into Pino, and you have your code and some config, and this then this config basically feeds the batch jobs and feeds the Samza jobs. So it's, but this is not connected to machine learning here. So this whole thing. This is not that useful, I guess. Do I have one more? Do I have one more? Oh, okay, yeah, this one is also interesting. This one, I should have done this one earlier. This one from Navina Ramesh. This is a bit of an older thing, September 2017. And unified batch and stream processing with Apache Samza. And what she describes here is basically how this stuff works. And this is a very interesting or very good slide here that describes how the whole processing and storage and so on works. So you have your services tier. This is where your phone or your computers connect. Then you have then they have something on Azure and something on AWS, Kinesis, Dreams, Event Hubs, and they all post into the Brooklyn system. And from there, from Brooklyn, they can access the data and put it into Samza, and with Samza then process it and put it out into like Hadoop, and do with Spark batch processing, and in put data into HDFS, or they put it into a key value store, and this is then again available for to the service tier, or the service tier posts data that ends up in Kafka, and then you can also through this Espresso DB NoSQL store for all user data, you can then access it again and feed it through the services tier. So basically, you have the ingestion and the storage here, and Samza as a stream processing engine where you can access feeds from Kinesis, from Event Hub, and feeds from Kafka or Brooklyn, and basically process the data and put it back into a key value store that is accessible directly from the front end. Well, this is a interesting setup. This Brooklyn thing, I don't know where this comes from. I have never heard of this before. Maybe one of you does. Is this an Apache project? I don't know. Or is this again something from Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Brugal Inn. I guess they created this. Yannick, about solar, I have to admit I don't have experience with solar. I have never needed solar before. I'm not sure why this came up for you for the LinkedIn stuff, because if I search this, I get basically nothing. No. It's just some companies that are hiring guys with solar. Yeah. I mean, just let's move forward here. And we can discuss this stuff then later after this is already the last slide I have. So Kafka. Yeah, we have seen how many messages and a lot of things in Hadoop, and plus 200 Samza applications for live stream or for streaming. Side speed, operate real time. Yeah. And they have some. Here are again the pipelines that they have built. So you have your. This is a bit more more insight into this. They have the streaming pipeline and the batch pipeline. In the streaming pipeline, you have your message queues with the partitions, and then you have Samza, which works also in parallel with processors. And so you can build up here a parallel processing pipeline or parallel processing, and then you feed this back into a Kafka, and then feed it into a key value store and into HBase, and the key value store you query. Or the other thing is you have an ingestion service from your data that puts data into HDFS for parallel storage, and then you have something like Spark with map and reduce processes, and you can do parallel processing and then feed it back into into HDFS and HBase. So very, very traditional. What they did is they had Samza here for stream processing, two different pipelines with two different processors, and now they look into using Samza for everything. There's a quick overview of Samza. Production at LinkedIn since 2013, so this is is one of the older systems at LinkedIn. Stream as first class citizen. So this is streaming first. Data sources like Kafka, HDFS, Kinesis, Event Hub, everything. State management, also good. And then, yeah, this is, again, I guess this is another overview. There you have the sources. This is your Samza. You have a checkpoint. Oh, look a bit strange here. Checkpoint manager, system producers and consumers. And then you have some local state storage, local storage, where you can quickly, I guess this is more like a buffer for Samza. RocksDB in-memory, a really fast in-memory database for buffering data within the processing. And then you have some high-level APIs of how you can access the data. And this runs on Yarn or on Mesos. Also has a local runner, a standalone system. Yeah. Deployment processor API. I find this interesting. I find this an interesting alternative to Spark, I have to say. I guess I said this before in the past stream where we talked about Samza. Yeah, this is a comparison? Or we can join petitions. Yeah, this here you can see how they use the RocksDB. So the RocksDB is after each processor of SAMHSA application. You have a parallel local state store, the RocksDB's database. And then you have some, you can store the add click through within, or you can access this from this database. Change log. Okay. Convergence of pipelines, port. Yeah, this is from HDFS. Yeah, you can see how this works. You have the partitions within HDFS, and then they are mapped to a task, and then this is parallel processing within within SAMHSA. Yeah, support for batch data. Now these are a lot of details here. Unified. Okay. No, this is not interesting. Okay. That was it for this one. And I think this, I don't have more. Yeah, this was the last slide for this one. Now let me get into one of the comments here. Let me make it full. Let me get here full screen. Okay, Nick says LinkedIn, Airbnb, DuckDuckGo, and many more use Solr for full text search. My interest is not just indexing documents, but using machine learning tricks on top of it, auto ranking, etc., especially with Spark. Okay, interesting. Solr is for search and works very well with Elasticsearch, says Dragonfly. How should we? What would be the course here to get into this? To find more information about this. Solr. Solr, but so let me just do a quick search. Forget it, there is. There is nothing. There is nothing here for instance, for LinkedIn. Okay, I think Solr, we should we should keep this in mind and do this on another stream. Look into Solr. Sounds interesting. Anyway, yeah. So for me, LinkedIn, I'm a bit surprised how much data LinkedIn gets and how how fast they ingest data. And I think the introduction of SAMHSA here, this is a backbone for processing, is interesting. It's something a bit different than what we have seen from other companies that are using just Spark. I find this found this interesting. I don't know, guys. Do you have something interesting, or what's your what's for you the most interesting part within LinkedIn? I don't know. I don't know how many of these use cases we should do. LinkedIn is the Apple of open source. Well, Apple of open source, I don't know. Apple is notorious for having a closed system, so it's not the Apple. the thing is here, we are seeing, I'm not sure if we should do more of the use cases. I find this interesting, and I can do 10 more. But does that bring us something? Because what we see is that basically almost everybody uses the same tools and is doing the same stuff. And I don't know if this stays interesting for you guys. Divium said, look more into tools themselves and figure out, I don't know. Yeah, the problem with perhaps we can focus on best practices. I mean, best practices for what? For special tools, or I don't know. I mean, the best practices, we can find the best practices through these case studies. We can see what people are doing, but they do almost all the same. I don't know. I need to think about this. Let me know in the chat or in a comment on LinkedIn. Just write something and tag me. I'm open, guys. I'm open. Or that we scale this down, that we say we're doing these kinds of use cases once a week, like every Wednesday or every Monday, and we look into a tool every Wednesday, and I don't know. I try to make this as interesting as possible for you guys, and so me as well, we learn as much as possible here. We don't need to decide here right now. Just let me know. You can write me on LinkedIn write me on LinkedIn, add me in the post, or I can make a post later on. I don't know. the thing with the cookbook, I'm not 100% sure how we can. Two case studies in one stream with a Q&A and a tool and another stream. This two case studies in one stream, this is too much. I mean, this stuff from the case studies, this is going into the cookbook. So this is definitely one thing. When we look into tools, this can also go into the cookbook. So all the information, Yeah, let's think about this. I'm thinking maybe we do this. We look into a tool, and let me. Maybe what I could do is I wanted to do a overview of the tools that we have seen here in an Excel manner here. So let's write down everything we have seen and that is interesting and that is basically used. And then let's decide how to get into or what tools we look into, basically make a deep dive into the tool and then try to figure out more. That would be a decision. We make a decision on based on this table, and so we have the tools and we can decide next we do this, the one after this we do this, so we have a bit of a selection. Like right now we have with the case studies, we have a bit, I already pre-selected some case studies, and so we just select another one. Yeah. Let's do it this way. I'm going to now after the stream or later on, I'm putting the links to this in the description. Then then tomorrow I'm going to do a post about what we should do, how we should proceed here. My first impression would be to get into the tools we are seeing here more. So the first thing I would look at here is now from the feeling what we have seen here is Kafka. Is look deeper into how Spark works. Is look deeper into how Hadoop works. Then we need some key value stores like Cassandra. I find Cassandra super interesting. I haven't really worked with Cassandra, but I have researched Cassandra before. So this is something that we can do. So I would already have a few tools, and we can include Solr for Nick. We can include Solr there as well, and yeah, maybe find out how people are using these tools specifically, or some boilerplate codes and some starting points for people. I don't want to get into live coding because this probably makes no sense, because for everyone who has coded, coding is not like you code it down and it works, and then I would need to do some debugging, and time flies by and nothing gets done, so this makes no sense. Let's do it this way. What I'm going to do is I'm going to create this table with all the information, and I'm going to post this on. I'm going to put this on. Where I'm going to put this? I'm going to figure this out, and then I'm going to share it with you on LinkedIn. Maybe tomorrow, maybe on Sunday. I don't know how much time I have, and then we're going to figure out where to go next. Okay. You already see where this happens, where this ends. Now everybody is is coming up with tools that we should look into. But this is okay. This is okay. We have a lot of time. There is no end date here for the stream, so we have a lot of weeks in 2018, and we're going to figure this out. one thing I'm going to do, or I'm going to try to do, is I'm going to try to pre-record two videos for next week, because I'm on a business trip on Monday, from Monday to Wednesday. So I think I'm coming home on Wednesday, so I think I will not be able to do a stream on Wednesday. So because when I come home at 7 or so, I can't do a stream at 10:30 again. So this, I a whole day of travel, so this will not work. Maybe I can do a stream on Monday from the hotel. Just a quick, some topic, and yeah. So I, either way, I try to have something for you in the usual manner, and then Monday and Wednesday, and on Friday, when we're getting to Easter time. Kate is going to join me. Kate Strachan is going to join me from Story by Data, and we're going to talk about privacy and ethics in data science. So I think this is something very important. You need some type of ethics. So, because a lot of thing has to do with profiling and user data and so on. So this is a interesting topic, and Kate and I, we have planned to do it on the live stream. So yeah. One question from Dragonfly I don't get. Do you understand how Spark uses micro-batching? No, I don't know. Now the questions are... There are a lot of questions. Dragonfly, I don't know exactly what you mean. Spark is using micro-batching for streaming, so there is no real streaming in Spark. There is no streaming like we have seen with Heron, where a message comes in and it gets immediately processed, and then the output of the analytics gets outputted, or the result of the analytics gets outputted. With Spark, you write your streaming job, where you, like, if you have a Kafka a direct stream, you write the job, and this job starts every 30 seconds, and then you have the processing, and then the next one is starting 30 seconds after this. So this is a 30 second cycle, and every time the job starts and basically consumes data from Kafka or whatever, and then creates an output that you can do either put back into Kafka or store it in HBase or something. But it's not really a streaming, it's a micro batching. So yeah, this is basically how streaming works within Spark. Yeah. Nick, the stream about ethics, I don't need to share this. This is going to end up on this channel. So this is, as usual, this will be next week Friday, 10:30 Central European time, or depending on if the US switches the daylight saving time to summer, it's 1:30 p.m. if they're on winter time, or 2:30 if they're on summertime. Okay, guys, we're already over an hour in. Or Brexit time. didn't they have an extension now until October or something? No. Nick asks, I heard that Spark 3 will have more natural stream processing like Flink or Beam. Have you heard about this? No. Haven't heard about this. Haven't heard about this. Haven't been looking into Spark 3. No. But it would be cool. This would be cool. Cool addition to the micro batching. I mean, micro batching is not super bad. It's not. Yeah. But yeah, we'll see. Okay, guys. I think this is it for now. What I'm going to do is I'm going to do a quick after stream hangout here in a few minutes. In 5 minutes, I'm going to be back here. I am watch the live streams back. Okay. I'm going to come back on my PlayStation. I'm playing Sekiro Shadows Die Twice. I'm going to die a lot, and this is a lot of fun. I have a small competition with a colleague. He's playing the same game, and right now I'm ahead, and I want to stay ahead. And so if any one of you wants to hang, I'll be back online in 5 minutes. I need to unplug some stuff here, and yeah, either that or we see each other next week, maybe on Monday, maybe for a live stream, or on Friday for a live stream. Yeah, now it's time to relax after over an hour of stream. But it's this stuff is fun, and for me, it's streaming is it's great. I'm a live guy. The recording stuff, I can do it, but I don't like to do it. But for you guys, I'm doing this. Yeah. Always fun. Then I'm going to end the stream here. And then we see each other in the next one. Have a great weekend. And yeah. See you soon. Bye-bye.